When America was founded, she was strong and pure and good. And our leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation in her pride has turned her back upon the right. And the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do his work stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. God's enemy is hard at work, undermining everywhere, breaking down foundations, twisting laws and stiffing snares. He would take away our freedom and replace them with despair. And he laughs at those opposing him as if they were not there. But God's children, they must sit by, for the battle is not over till our King declares the end. We must work and fight and meet him, not as those that beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hearts is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Though the waves of immorality may beat upon the shore, and it seems that all ungodliness is knocking at our door, we must never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Turn the tide.
Well, amen. Thank you, Sister Clark. That's a good one again for Memorial Day. In fact, that's my sermon. Let's just go home. I was kidding. Come on back and sit down. But boy, that's a message in song, isn't it? Mm-mm. Memorial Day. How many veterans do we have with us today? If you're a veteran, would you stand? Would you stand? We got several. Look around, folks. Look around. And this is... Yeah, amen. Sadly, I fear too many folks have forgot what Memorial Day is all about. And we praise God for the veterans. We just hear so much about it today, and so much of it's been wrong, and the disrespect that's been shown in so many ways. But I thank God for you men and all the men that made it possible for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have in America. Amen. I want you to open your book to the book, Bible, to the book of Joshua. Joshua's taken over from Moses. Moses, the great leader. I can imagine how Joshua would have felt. How in the world do you replace Moses? And yet God told him to do it, told him how, and led him to do it. And what we have in our text that I'm going to ask you to go to with me is Joshua chapter 4. We're going to read maybe just the first 7, 8, 9 verses of Joshua chapter 4. And what's happening now, Joshua's got the army under his command, the Israelites. He's got to lead them. He's got to follow God's command. And they got to cross the Jordan River and go against the city of Jericho, fortified city, powerful city. And they've already sent spies in, and God's already put the fear of the Lord in the heart of the people of Jericho. But now they come to the Jordan River, and God works a big miracle. And we're going to read about that right here in Joshua chapter 4. It says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, and of every man, every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel," of course that's 12, "that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones?" And that's what I want to think about here just a moment. This would be the text. What mean you by these stones? They were placed for a memorial, for the children to remember what they represented. "Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. It says, "And they are there unto this day." Now, I don't know if that's still true in our day. Scotty, when we were over there, there were some stones in the Jordan River. We saw those. We don't know about where it's the same ones. But here's the whole point. God wanted the children to know what had happened. He didn't want it to be forgotten. He wanted it to be a memorial, and where the kids would say, "What's the meaning of this stack of stones here?" They'd say, "Well, this is where God parted the waters and caused them to stand up in a heap, and we crossed over on dry ground. This is where a miracle took place," is what the Lord wanted the children to remember and to know about. And I want to say to you today, here's the problem. We in America, we've forgotten America's a miracle itself to have ever existed. And on this Memorial Day, it'd be real good for us to remember that there wouldn't be any America had God not worked a miracle and did something supernatural and something powerful that we're still enjoying the blessings of today. Now, the meaning of Memorial Day is lost to me, too many. I hate to say that. But there's some things we ought to be reminded of this morning and ought to remember. To begin with, on Memorial Day, we ought to remember to love our country. That's something that's been lost to a great deal. We're supposed to pass it on. I think about the little boy that said, "My big sister picks on me, but mother says it's all right because she loves me. He said, so I pick on little sister to show her I love her. Now, he's passing it on. We need to pass it on that we still love God and country, amen? It's not a dirty word to say that. But we've come to some circles today where it is, and where you're just not very popular to say it at all. But truly, we need to put America first. Our president gets in trouble when he says he wants to put America first. Well, what do we want to do? Put it second, third, fourth, fifth? What's the matter with us today? We ought to love the country we're in, or I got some good advice for you. If you don't, there's other places you can go. And I could suggest a few if you'll come to me in private. Amen. Now, the president gets criticized sometime for just wanting to be America first. Today, disrespect shown to the flag. I mean, not only do we see it burned in Iran and all those kind of places, but out here in America. Do you know there's some places in some of the public schools where kids are not even allowed to wear a T-shirt with an American flag on it? That's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's exactly where we've arrived to in our country today. The disrespect. We've seen the millionaire ball players taking a knee and disrespecting the flag. And except for the blood of the servicemen that fought, they wouldn't have had the right to be out there earning $1 million for playing a game to start with. And had the freedom to do that. And I did see where they are saying now that they're going to have to either stand up or stay in the locker room. Did you see that? There's recent news. I got a suggestion. Either stand up or stay out of the country. You know, don't hide in the locker room, bless God. The truth of the matter is, on this Memorial Day, we need as Americans not only to wave the flag for one day, but to take a stand on some things and let the world know where we're at. Our patriotism is rooted in God. You just heard Sister Clark singing, and you read a little honest history that hadn't been perverted, and you know we were built on the foundation of God. The Bible tells us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says that the wicked shall be cast into hell in all nations that forget God. In America, we're no VIPs with God. If we forget the God that put us on top, we can go back to the bottom. President Reagan made the statement that he said, we are a nation under God. And he said, when we forget that, we'll be a nation gone under. And he was hated for saying that. This is not the first president that's been hated. There's been some. I remember when Reagan come up here around Orlando for whatever the meeting was. And he was speaking, and he just drove the liberals nuts because he made a statement concerning, maybe it was a day of prayer or something, but he made a statement concerning the Bible. And he said this about the Bible. He said, that book has all the answers. And boy, they hated him for that. But he was dead right. And what we're reaping today is turning from the book and getting away from the book in our country today. But patriotism was rooted in God. In the old days, respect. Some of you are old enough to remember World War II. Now, cars were not as plentiful. Gas was cheap, but it was rationed. Anybody ever hear of a ration book? Well, that was in World War II. I learned a little ditty in school, third grade, that it went something like this. It said, looking forward to the day that a ration book will become a souvenir. And I remember folks having to get the books out to see if they could get a stamp to go buy sugar or gasoline or tires or anything like that. But in those days, if a soldier boy came in to a port, if he came in and to America and he was trying to get home, it didn't matter if it was across America. All he had to do was step out on the road and throw up his thumb. And every good citizen would pick up a soldier boy and give him a ride. And it was a safe thing to do. And it was a right thing to do. And it was a respectful thing. And people loved our soldiers. What a change. What a change has taken place. They could hitchhike across the country. Hollywood movies honored them those days. Anybody ever see the movie Sergeant York? Gary Cooper, you ought to watch that. Now, watch it on your TV. You don't have to go to the old movie house to do it. But you ought to watch that one. Sergeant York. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know who I'm talking about. All right, good. Got an intelligent audience this morning. How about Audie Murphy? Everybody remember Audie Murphy? Most decorated soldier in World War II. They made a movie of him called To Hell and Back. He was a young and small guy, but oh man, he jumped on the enemy tanks. I mean, man, he almost won the battle single-handed. And you know what? We used to respect him, and even Hollywood will make the right kind of movie about that. What a change has taken place in our country from those days, amen? We've looked around and see the liberal attack on the military today. I saw where a graduating student had joined the Marines, I think it was the Marines, and they had on their graduation gown, they had a little thing, signification, they were going in the Marines. They wouldn't let them walk, wouldn't let them get up in front of the crowd. And they'd not let them declare they're going to go into the military. That used to be an honorable thing. I remember when a whole graduating class of the boys in the class pulled off their robes and showed their uniforms under them at the graduation. Wow, how things have changed, amen? What we need is we need some memorials built out of stone again, brother, to remind this generation what we were built on, where we come from, and how our patriotism ought to be revived, and our patriotism is anchored in God, and to have that respect again. We've gone to this brainwashing to the most unusual thing. Did you see in the news where they had a die-in at Publix stores, the grocery stores? Now, I think they ought to move out and put them in the main thoroughfare and lay them down in the dark. Well, you'd get mad at me. I could care less. Here's the thing. We've gone nuts in this country. The very thing that made us great now, we've turned over to the bleeding heart liberals. I saw where a Marine general was being interviewed on the public broadcasting radio, what do they call it? Female liberal interviewed him about the fact that the Marine base was fixing to let a Boy Scout troop come in for a few days, and she was asking the general, what are you going to do when the scouts come in? What are you going to teach them? Well, we're going to teach them canoeing, hiking, rock climbing. We're going to teach them archery, and we're going to teach them shooting. And oh, she said, oh, that wouldn't be right, would it, to teach them to shoot? He said, oh, yeah, we'll teach them gun safety and how to do things right. But you're going to teach them shooting? And he said, well, yes. She said, well, wouldn't that qualify them, equip them to be killers? And he said, well, ma'am, said, you are equipped to be a prostitute, are you? Amen and amen. Think it through. Thank God for a general to talk like that back to a liberal. Amen. Yeah. We need to teach love for our country again. We also need to remember God's grace has been on us as a country. We just sang a song a while ago, the spacious skies, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, and yes, he is willing to again. Somebody says, is America going to be saved? Not unless America repents. I mean, even if we get the right people in leadership, unless the citizenship comes back to God, gets right with God, and turns from their evil ways, we don't have a hope in this world. Our enemies will take over. God may be buying us some time right now, but look at the forces against what is being done right now. They say, we ought to impeach Trump. Well, let's see. Are we going to impeach him because the economy is doing better under him? Are we going to impeach him because he's got Korea wanting to go to the table to negotiate nuclear weapons? Is that an impeachable offense? Are we going to impeach him because he's taking some of the business regulations off that's choking our country to death? Are we going to impeach him because he's trying to get our tax money back from Planned Parenthood that murders the babies every day? Is that why we want to impeach him? I mean, are we going to impeach him because he got the Johnson Amendment stopped that struggled, caused preachers to struggle to tell the truth from the pulpit? Gagged them? You don't even know what I'm talking about. I didn't gag very easy, but there was a whole lot of preachers afraid to say what I'm saying to you this morning, even on Memorial Day. And that's sad. I don't see why we want to impeach him. I'd say let's have a bunch more like him right now is what I'd like to see. You say, that's politics. There's two things in the world you're not supposed to talk about, they say. Politics and religion. That's pretty dumb. Politics has a lot to do with this life here, and religion has a lot to do with your life hereafter. You better get them right. I'll tell you what, we've got a bunch of foolishness being sold to Americans today. If you could roll the calendar back and you could pick up America back in the 40s and put that bunch in control, they'd take care of what's going on today in a hurry. Listen, America needs to build walls to keep others out. Not to keep our folks in. There's a big difference. All that we could get back to what was real and true instead of all the deception that we got going today. God's grace has been on us. We want it to stay on us. It will not stay until we get our gratitude to God back, and not just in words, but showing it. We've moved to this thing in America, what I call groupthink or herd mentality. It's what these kids out here advertising against guns. Guns didn't kill anybody. People killed them. And except for guns, they'd lose their freedom. It's what it really boils down to. But they've got them taught to walk in sync, to group think, to herd, follow the herd mentality. That's what's going on. But I want to say what we need today is God's grace again. We had his protection in the past. We need it today. It's you see the horror, and some of you folks listen to them. I'm going to give you some advice. Turn on your TV. It's Memorial Day. There'll be some old World War II movies, even Vietnam, even Korea. There'll be some old black and white films on your TV. It won't be as exciting as some of the rest of that junk you listen to, but it might teach you something. You say, I don't like it. It's bloody. Yeah, that's the horror of what war is. And if it hadn't been for the bloodshed of our soldiers, you and I would either be speaking German or Japanese today instead of English. Help yourself. I'm having fun today. Could care less about what liberals think of me anyhow. God's grace has been on us. We've had his protection in the past. Look at some of them old movies and you'll see the grace of God. And it's a horrible thing, but somebody had to pay that price. See, we live in a sin-cursed world. Yes, sir. We live in a time when struggle is real, and because of modern weapons, we can kill more people and see more blood and all that. But the issue is still the same, right and wrong, good and evil. Still the same. Churchill, Prime Minister of England in World War II, made a statement still true today. He said, war is horrible. But he said, there's one thing worse than war, and that's losing a war. And old Churchill was right. Boy, was he ever right. You know, the new enemy today has got a lot more subtle. The new enemy today, oh yeah, the battlefield is still out there, and we got soldiers out there, and we ought to support them. I was talking about why would you want to impeach Trump? For one thing, we got to impeach him because he stopped ISIS. The previous administration couldn't buy off of all the enemies, but Trump scared a bunch of them off. So I'm for him. Help yourself. Anyway, the new enemy today is the inside enemy. Inside. And some of you sitting right here and a bunch of you in radio land, if you haven't turned me off yet, you are the enemy because you're thinking stupid. You've been brainwashed. You've been deceived. And some of you get deceived on cyberspace so easy it blows my mind. You think if it's on the screen, it's got to be truth. No, this is the screen where the truth comes from. God's word. Any jerk, any heretic can put something on a screen and fish for you, and if you're sucker enough to bite, next thing you know, you're hooked. It's awful what's going on today. Cyberspace, far as new weapons and bombs and all that, but I worry more about the inside brainwashing that's going on in the so-called cyberspace today, where they shut down the conservative voices, they shut down the truth, and they put out whatever they want to put out. And then when the folks go to the voting polls, they don't know what is right and wrong, so they vote wrong. That's what goes on. But I say to you that the Memorial Day today, we ought to remember some things. We ought to remember to love our country. We ought to remember God's grace has been on us and we still need it. Boy, do we need his favor. And then we ought to remember that peace has always had a high price. And it's going to have a high price till Jesus gets back. See, this world is depraved. Now, if you don't know what that word means, just look around and read the headlines in the newspaper. It'll describe what depravity is all the time. It'll describe the pedophiles and the homosexuals and the immoral and the murder and all the rest of it. We're depraved. The human flesh can't be trusted. Until you're regenerated and born again and have the Spirit of God leading you, you can't even trust yourself. Amen. Peace has always had a high price. It has in the past. It did in the War of Independence. Do you ever read the Declaration of Independence? Do you ever look at the signatures on the bottom? Now, I know you can see John Hancock real big, but all the rest of them on the bottom, every one of those men was pledging their lives, their fortunes, their families, all they owned. When they signed that paper, they were pledging away, and most of them lost it all. And you and I are built on that foundation. The price they paid for our peace and our victory. We've had to defend it in the world wars and all the rest of the play. We've had to defend it. But the truth is, God has blessed our nation to be able to still be the home of the free, land of the brave. We still can rejoice in that today. I remember as a kid, I remember the adults around me talking. I remember names, World War II names, Iwo Jima, Normandy, those various Battle of the Bulge and things I'd hear the adults talking about. I remember hearing my mother go to the door when somebody knocked on it and scream. And what it was a telegram. Cousins missing in action. Yeah, we had kin killed in the war. And it was an awful time to get a telegram like that. But Americans stood up and paid the price, and they believed it was worth it for the kids that would come along later. Yeah, they did. And somebody, rightfully so, named that generation, World War II generation, as the greatest generation. And you just kind of examine it and look at it, and you'll see a lot of truth in that. It was not the throwaway generation we got today. It was not the generation that thought everybody owed them everything. It was not the generation that wanted to live free off of somebody else's tax money. It was not that generation. It was a generation that walked off to war to defend their country and their families and their faith in God. Wow, what a difference. The peace of God's always had a high price on it. It's always had. It has not changed. When I tell you today that you can have peace with God, I want to tell you it don't cost you, but it costs God. Yes, sir. It's always had a high price. No higher price than when Jesus, the Son of God, came to this old sin-cursed world, took my sin on him, your sin, every evil thought you ever had, every dirty word you ever said, every bad act you wish you could take back, that was on Jesus when he went on the cross. When he put our sin on him, took our place and died in our stead, God the Father was given the ultimate price that you can have peace with God. You know what peace with God is? Peace with God is that I am not afraid to face him because the price of my sin has already been paid for. My name is written up there. I've got a free ticket to heaven because Jesus paid the price. The scripture says you're bought with a price. You're not your own. The truth of the matter is, you can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But Jesus paid for you anyway. We want to talk about what love means. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. And lay down and took our place and paid our price. Wow. Today, we've come to a generation that's forgot that. And I want to stand up today and say, count me with the ones that's paid the price for our freedom. And count me with Jesus Christ, who paid the greatest price for freedom there ever was paid. And that through his price, through what he paid, I've got eternal life. I've got the assurance of heaven. You know, to step out and confess Jesus Christ as Savior takes a real man to do that, real character to do that. We live in a day and time where character is put down. Manhood is become so deceived, folks don't even know what it really is anymore. But to step out for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking to you men, or you young men in particular, it's not a sissified thing. It's a manly thing. It's a godly thing. It's the right thing to step out for the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord and Savior. I say to you today, in a time when they've tried to teach in our schools and turn us from that truth, it's still the greatest truth there is. To receive Jesus Christ is to have eternal life. When you see what he paid for you, and out of gratitude you accept him as your Savior, live for him because you love him because he first loved you. When you do that, it brings a peace. It really brings a peace that no matter what the world throws at you, it'll be all right when you stand before the Lord. What a price he paid for us to have that peace. You know, ought to love Jesus for what he's done for us. Memorial Day, and I've told this story before. I think of it often. I'll tell it to you again. It really is supposed to have happened. I'm going to say it was World War II. It could have been one, or it could have been Korea, or it could have been Vietnam. I don't know. But a young man from what we would call a wealthy family, a socially high family, after he graduated, he went and he joined, and it was during wartime, and he was in the war. Some time had passed, and the family had heard that he's going to come home. That's all they had heard. So the mother took a phone call one evening, and the young man said, "Mother, I've got to port. I'm back, and I'm on my way home. But," he said, "I have a favor to ask of you." Said, "I have with me a friend." Said he paid an awful price in the service. He's only got one arm. He's only got one leg. He's hurt pretty bad. One eye's messed up. And he needs some help. "But Mother, I'd like to bring him home with me for a while." And she said, "Oh, no, honey." Said, "He would take too much care. He would interrupt our plans." He said, "You shouldn't do that. We don't bring somebody home that would have to have that much attention and care." He said, "Okay." When he was supposed to have gotten home, he didn't arrive. And some days went by, and some weeks went by. And they wondered what happened to their son. Then they got a call from a pastor of a mission and said, "Your son was here, and he's dead." She said, "What do you mean? He was supposed to come home." He said, "No, he died of his wounds." He said he had a missing arm, and a missing leg, and a bad eye. You understand what the boy was doing? Seeing if he was going to be welcome, or was he going to need too much care for that family to take him back in? That's heartbreaking. But that story is almost retold over and over in the day and time that we live in. I want to say to you today, let's don't just wave a little flag. Let's really go to God for America. Let's ask God to let his grace shine on us again. And truly ourselves, be where we ought to be in standing with the Lord. This morning, if you leave that seat and come down the aisle, you can receive Jesus. You can have the peace of God in your heart. You can know the price of your sins been met. Will you take him? He was wounded for you. That soldier boy described his wounds to his mother, and she said, no, too much trouble. If I describe the wounds Jesus went through to pay for your sin, he's knocking at your door. He's on the phone to your heart. Will you let him be your Savior this morning? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I thank God for Jesus that paid the price for my peace, for my salvation. Can you say that by the uplifted hand all over the building this morning? Do you know him? Do you know him? Thank you so many. Are you here and you'd say, preacher, I'm not saved and I know it. I'm going to be honest with God and I'll be honest with you. If I died today, I wouldn't go to heaven. I know that. While our heads are bowed, I'm looking. God's looking. Christians are praying for you. Would you slip that hand up and say, preacher, have me in mind. I need to be saved. I don't have the peace of God in my heart. I've never received Christ. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. What about it, young man, young lady? Mom, dad, granddad? Would you slip that hand up for prayer? Very well, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, when I get up here and preach from your book and preach the truth of what our heritage was in our country on a day like this, there's so many folks that just don't fit society today. It's a misfit in society. And I understand that, but dear God, it is still true. And your grace has been on our nation, and you'd love to continue that grace, but we've got to turn back to you. And I pray that in our hearts today we do that. I pray right now for this moment for that one that needs to be saved, or for that believer that needs to think right and stand for righteousness in an unrighteous atmosphere we have today. Bless the invitation, Father, I pray. I pray not one would leave the building lost, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ, would you meet me right here? Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
How about you this morning? How about you?
And that thou bidst me come to thee.
Whatever God's asked you to do, will you do it? Will you come?
God, I come. Just as I am and waiting on.
Will you come this morning? Will you come?
Rid my soul of one dark blot. His blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The music will continue. The invitation's still open. It would be an awful thing to die lost after living in America with churches on every corner and a lot of true gospel even on the airwaves. How are you going to explain to God you were without excuse if you reject his son? You got a real mighty force working in the world today. It's Satan in his last days attempt to keep people from the gospel. But some of these missionaries can tell you in certain places on old planet Earth, souls are being saved. And I think that's the only reason maybe that God is not letting the trumpet sound, call off the saved. They are getting saved. I read this week a missionary's report. Just a tremendous amount when the gospel was preached. Trouble in America, we've gotten gospel hardened because we've heard it so much and we take it for granted. And I've had people tell me, well, I'll get saved after a while. No, you don't know that. We announced Brother Bill's funeral in the announcements this morning. He sat back there just 2 weeks ago. We had a funeral recently for a very healthy man in his 50s. Sudden heart attack. Nobody expected that. You don't know. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It can be that quick. I've been preaching in this town now for a long time. And more than one time through the years, I've had somebody come and hear the gospel and walk out and die that very week. They didn't plan that. It just happened. It just happened. So I say to you, in spite of everything else, and while we love our country and we preach trying to straighten it out, still your soul is most important. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? No profit. Be sure first of your salvation. Then you can stand up for what is right. You can help your neighbor, your family, your country. But you need to be on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ yourself. Do you know him? I hope you do. Okay, let me have your attention this way. We have Brother Richmond Jean Batiste. Did I say that close? As close as I'd say it. He's moving his membership back with us. He's been gone, but he's been saved and moving his membership back with us. So we're glad to have Brother Jean back with us. Okay, motion to receive him in membership. Show of hands and so carried. All right, just stand here a minute, Brother Jean.